This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, listeners. Yes, I'm going to start by apologising. First of all, I'm apologising for the fact that I am not James Acaster. My name is Marek Larwood. I am a bald man in his late 30s. So you are in for the ride of your lives. This is the iPod Shuffle song and iPod Shuffle show. I even got that wrong. Where I have a guest in and we play whatever comes up on our iPods. And here's the first one. Enjoy it. Oh, that was Radiohead with No Surprises. Now, I'm joined by the wonderful comedian Joe Bohr. Hello, Joe.
Yes, hello. You're right.
Yeah, not too bad. I've got another admission to make that my iPod Shuffle actually chose to take that song.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get back to the start of it, and it's messed up the shuffle to start a whole new shuffle. So it should have been a Take That song, and I would have ended up looking like a dick. But instead, I look like a pedestrian man just listening to Radiohead.
Mate, I think Take That is fine. I've got terrible music taste as well. It's fine.
What are you most worried about?
I've got a lot of Backstreet Boys. I've got a lot of Take That. I remember I was in a car with another comic, Sean Walsh.
Yeah.
Bit of Take That, bit of my music came on. It was Take That, and he got quite excited. And it was Never Forget. And we sang it, you know, pretty loud, windows down. And I went, yeah. And I think I went a bit too far. And I was like, I love boy bands. I love Backstreet Boys. And he went, oh, no, just like that song.
Oh, no.
And I got far too excited about the whole thing.
You said Backstreet Boys about three times now. Who's your favourite Backstreet Boy?
Kevin.
Which one was Kevin?
The leader. Kevin was the leader, like the dad.
No one likes that one. That's the boring one. I thought you'd like the sort of...
Nick's the sexy one. I mean, he's a bit annoying, though. I saw them live. And Kevin just sort of organises them.
When did you see them live?
Last summer before.
Yeah. And did you sort of pretend to be someone's dad going along, or was it that you lost your daughter?
Yeah, I've done that before with Britney Spears. It's embarrassing.
You went to see Britney Spears?
I went to see Britney Spears.
But what, by yourself?
19, I got front row seats, and it was just me. Like, I was a lot higher than everyone else in the front row, basically.
So did people think you were sort of, may have been there for the wrong reasons? Were you wearing a Britney t-shirt and
it
stuff?
It didn't look great, no. But then there was a moment where she was like, obviously she thinks that her fans are like young girls, so she threw out like cuddly toys. And there was one where it just sort of hit me and I had to sort of give it to someone else because it's a bit inappropriate.
That's really nice of you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
My most embarrassing, I was in the gym once and my phone, for some reason, you know your phone sometimes goes on speaker and starts playing loudly. I don't know why it was. So I was in the gym getting changed. There's quite a few people around me. And it started playing. I hit my phone for some reason, and it started playing "Yes" by Macam on Butler, legit, which made it like I did look like I was around all these sort of semi-naked men. And I tried to pretend it was my phone ringtone to try. For some reason, you know, when you think you get stressed, you think, I'll just try and pretend it's my ringtone. I haven't got on my, which is even worse. The fact that I'd have Macam on Butler as my ringtone. So anyway, it's
similar.
All in the past. Radiohead, I don't know how I feel about Radiohead now. No Surprises is... I find it a bit dull, that song.
Yeah, it's a bit depressing, isn't it?
How does it make you feel, then?
A bit depressed, but...
It's really bringing the whole podcast
down.
It's really bringing the whole podcast down. So what are you up to, Joe, at the moment? Are you on tour or something?
Bit of everything. Yeah, I'm on tour at the moment. I do a character. I perform a character called Jasper Cromwell Jones.
Who is he?
He's like a posh idiot. He's like a climber, explorer, adventurer. Sort of Bear Grylls type.
This came before Bear Grylls, did it?
It sort of came about 2 years ago. I didn't really know much about Bear Grylls at the time, but I had someone say, oh, it's Bear Grylls. So I checked out Bear Grylls, and it's kind of Bear Grylls.
Do you think Bear Grylls has ripped you off?
Almost definitely.
Do you do jokes about drinking your own piss?
No. No, it's all... So the first one was a spoof of Touching the Void, the first show that I did with another comedian called Jack Whitehall. He played his best friend Fishy, who went missing and died. So I do that show. That's the first part of the show, and then the second bit is the second show that I did about him looking for his father in the outback.
It's two shows.
It's two shows, mate. You get your money's worth. Yeah, I do 40 minutes of each show.
So you cut. Originally there were 50 minutes in those shows.
Yeah.
So what happened to the other 10 minutes?
That was a weaker 10 minutes. That was the faff. That was the chat.
So that it is all gold. It's all the way
it's all
through.
Gold, mate. Yeah, absolutely. Come along.
Here's one odd question I need to ask you.
Yeah.
You've handed me a flyer for the listeners at home. I've got a flyer of Joe's show, and in the flyer, you've got someone pulling down your eyelid. And it's a mini you.
It's
obviously
a mini
they
me.
Photoshopped that. How did you do that? How did you do it? Did you put your finger there and put it down?
So I did. We took two photos, one of my face as you see it, and then the other one with me pulling my eyelid down. And then we photoshopped the finger out.
So there
it's
we,
good, isn't it?
There we go. If you want to do that at home, that's how you make your own eyelid. eyelid.
Flyer. Eyelid flyer.
So where are you? Maidenhead, Redditch, Leeds.
Yeah, and I'm doing Guildford. I've added another one. I'm doing Guildford as well, just because, you know, they wanted me as well.
Now, I look at your website before you came on the show.
Yeah, it needs updating, doesn't it?
I was going to say. it looked like you've done nothing since 2013.
I have done stuff.
But the problem
I just
is,
haven't had time.
But that is how people view you. So they look on your website and think, you've been in prison.
Yeah.
Or I thought, A, prison, B, hospitalised. Or a combination of both.
Yeah, yeah. I would be hospitalised if I got in prison because I wouldn't, you know, they would do stuff to me, wouldn't they?
What? They would do stuff to you in prison?
Yeah, yeah. With this face.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
This is why you if you were going to be in Backstreet Boys, then do you think you'd be, what archetypal person would you be in the band?
Well, you say that. I was in a Backstreet Boys tribute band.
One you made up yourself or not?
No, in America, I worked at a fat camp in America.
What?
Yeah, I worked in a fat camp, a camp for fat kids.
What, so you were an instructor there?
I was, like a counsellor. They call it counsellor, not instructor.
Well, you need to get, they should be instructors there. You can't be counsellors.
Okay.
So let's go rewind a little bit. So how did you decide you wanted to go and work in a fat camp in America?
I thought it'd be quite fun. I was a soccer
Hang
coach.
On a minute. You're going to be a counsellor. Is it funny or fun? There's two different things.
Yeah, fun, obviously. Fun. Sorry, fun.
So you were a soccer... You could tell you've been in America if you're saying soccer rather than football. You were a football coach.
Football, sorry,
football
mate.
Coach,
football, yeah. So I like football and I like America.
There we go. This is looking good already.
Yeah.
And you laugh at fat
thought,
kids.
Put the two together, yeah. Fat kids. They weren't fat by the end of it. Obviously, I did my job.
It's not called Fat Camp, though, is it?
It's called Fat Camp Shane. I shouldn't name it. It's too
Fat
late, isn't it?
Camp Shane?
Fat Camp Shane, yeah.
Shame or Shane?
Shane! Not Shame. That would be the worst name for it.
But Shane's pretty bad. Why Shane?
I don't know. I think it's like run by some sort of cowboy. I don't know. No, he's probably not. I think he's probably... Yeah, his name was probably Shane. The guy.
This is getting really weird. So you... These kids get sent to this thing. It's not even called... It's supposed to be... They're supposed to be counselled there.
Yeah.
But for a start, A, it's called Fat Camp.
Yeah.
So they're going to feel a bit upset about being sent there by their parents.
Do you know what? I don't know if it's called Fat Camp. It might just be called Camp Shane. I think I called it Fat Camp.
Do all the counsellors go around saying, oh, we're working at Fat Camp then?
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
on your CV? Camp Shane or Fat Camp?
I haven't got a CV. I need a CV, don't I?
Well, you need to update your website and you need to put your CV on there and you need to put Fat Camp or Camp Shane.
Oh,
and really? Then what happens? So you've got this job there.
Yeah.
Then what happened then? So I'm.
So you have to do evening entertainment.
Oh, so you're not helping them get skinny?
Well, yeah, during the day, I tell them to run around the football pitch.
All day long?
Well, yeah, they do other stuff, like dance and basketball and volleyball and, you know, other sports I can't think of.
But surely running around the football pitch, that's a punishment rather than, why don't they just play the sport itself?
It's just easier for me if I get them to run around.
And you were a counsellor here,
yeah.
right? Okay. And then, so you made these kids run round the football pitch, and then the evening, how did you entertain them?
So we dressed up as Backstreet Boys and, acted out Backstreet Boys songs.
What, miming to them?
Miming. But they loved it. They were, like, screaming, in good screaming.
So, and who were you playing the leader, Kevin?
I think I was Kevin. Yeah, we just sort of made it up as we went along, but, you know, I was more into it, I think, than everyone else. And then there was like a rival band that was set up, an NSYNC one.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to sort of rival us, but, you know, they couldn't because we were the popular ones.
Who was in NSYNC? Were a bit rougher, weren't they, or not? Were a bit more gangster?
Yeah, they didn't really make it over here, did they? It was Justin Timberlake and...
It was just him and then other people who looked like they were just on the brink of being overweight men.
Joey, his name was Fat... His last name was Fat One. It was Fatone, but it was Fat One. Like, his last name was Joey... His name was Joey Fat One.
His name wasn't Fat One.
His name was Joey Fatone.
Old Fatone?
Yeah, but it's Fat One, isn't it, mate?
It's spelled F-A-T-O-N-E.
Yeah.
You're joking.
And he was the Fat One. Yeah. And then I think he trained to be to go into space.
What, because he was so upset?
Because he was like, I can't be a fat one for the rest of my life.
He trained to go into space?
Yeah.
Did he go into space?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm gonna Joey Fat One.
We're going to need to Google, isn't it?
The Fat One from NSYNC.
Yeah.
Trained to go into space.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is... I'm pretty sure this is...
A lie. True. I'm pretty sure this is a lie. What do you want to bet on this? Right, well, we're going to put...
Let's do it.
We're going to put... you just need to plug your iPod in.
Okay, mate. I'm really worried.
Joey Fatone.
Fatone. Yeah. I need to take my cover off because...
This is the exciting bit. Phone. Really build up that tension.
Okay. Oh, I'm really worried. I'm really scared.
It's all right.
It's going to come out. That's quite a cool one. I'll do the next.
Wow, that was Devlin.
Devlin.
I made it through this. What was he talking about in that song? What did he make it through?
Just a hard life, mate. Just living on the streets.
Cycling proficiency test? That was one of my nervous things, cycling proficiency.
Fat camp for me, mate.
Fat camp. Who is Devlin? I don't even know who these modern performers are.
He's just a street guy, isn't he?
Is Devlin his surname?
I don't know. I think that's his. Like,
or is he
name.
Made it up? Devlin's a surname.
It's his rap name, I think.
I think Devlin's like an Irish surname, isn't it? I'm sure I had a builder called Devlin.
You never had a builder called Devlin.
Mr. Devlin. No, it wasn't called Devlin. It would be like Devlin. Mr. Devlin. But you never called builders Mr. It's always like Trev, last isn't name. It?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trev Devlin.
Dev.
Trev Devlin. Oh, that'd be good. Devlin Devlin. The many opportunities of work for Devlin. He can go into building after his really average music. But do you like that song?
I'm not a big fan of that one. I quite like the album. It was one of those where you buy the album because there's like three songs that you like on it. It's usually about three, isn't there? That was a bonus track. It's not one of my faves.
Well, that's what people are going to remember you as that now, a Devlin fan.
Oh, no.
You're going to get Devlin T-shirts, all sorts. Before we played that song, you were making some assumptions about Joey Fatone or Joey Fat One from NSYNC training to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
Since then, our lovely producer's done the research and I've been handed quite a hefty amount of information. It was actually he floated in space.
Okay. He did the train then?
No. He went up in a zero gravity thing on his birthday and ate some M&Ms in space.
Wow.
But it was Lance Bass, who was also in NSYNC. He's a NASA... He's not only is he certified by NASA, but also the Russian space program after several months of cosmonaut training.
What does that mean?
He's done the training and he was going to go up to the International Space Station, but... he didn't get enough. His sponsors pulled out, and you can read that very same thing by simply typing his name into Wikipedia. Lance Bass, you got mixed. You mixed Bass up with Devlin.
He's quite Bass with Fatone. Fatone.
Oh, sorry, Fatone, not Devlin. Yeah. Fatone, Lance Bass. What other embarrassing bands are on your iPod, please, Joe?
Mate, there's loads. I mean. I went to the Five concert for Christmas time.
It's called Christmas.
Do you not have to say time?
It's very hard to pronounce. You just go Christmas. Just at Christmas time.
It wasn't. Is it Christmas like Christmas Day? It wasn't Christmas Day, so it was like around Christmas time.
Over Christmas.
Yeah. It wasn't like on the day.
But you did this. Christmas time. Yeah. I'm worried now.
I thought it would have assumed I went on Christmas Day, which would be horrible if I said to my family, I'm sorry, I can't spend it with you. I've got to spend it with Five.
It'd be really worrying. So far on this show, you said you like Backstreet Boys at Five. And you've lied about Joey Fatone's past.
I didn't know, mate.
We would never, but you would have known if it was a Backstreet Boys. And you went to go and see, on Christmas Day, you went to go and, who was it?
It was Christmas time. Over Christmas. I went to see Five, because my wife bought it for me for a present. It was one of those surprise presents. And I didn't know. She was like, I'm going to take you somewhere. And then we just got on the tube. And then we arrived at the Apollo. Apollo? HMV Hammersmith. Is that that's the Apollo, isn't it?
What? HMV? Yeah, the Apollo.
Yeah, that is the Apollo. Yeah, yeah. yeah, and it was Five. It was brilliant.
Was it, were you in the crowd dancing then? Or
yeah, yeah, I was dancing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you got a Five t-shirt?
No, no. I think there's only four of them now. Technically, there should be four. They should be called Four. But there isn't. They're Five.
I help teach out for special needs adults on a Tuesday. I'm not laughing at that. And one of the things they're rehearsing this play,
yeah,
and they're doing different decades. And for the 90s, yeah, I think they're one of the girls has brought in a Five song for them to dance to. And one of the people in the group was asking us how many members were in Five. Seriously asking that. Very strange. Very strange.
Well, it is Four, ironically.
It is Four. So we were wrong telling him it was Five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When it is actually Four. He knew. He probably read somewhere in the same magazine about Joey Fatone not going to space, but Lance Bass later going into space.
But, my favourite one was the fifth one, Jay, who of Five dropped out.
He was the sort of harder one, was he?
Yeah, I used to try and dress like him. He had baggy jeans and like a tight top.
But hang on a minute. May I ask how old you are, Joe?
I'm 34.
See, were you older than Five?
It turns out I think I'm the same age, because they did a thing, you know, when they chat in between songs, you know, when musicians...
I bet you like that bit.
Yeah. It's never quite as good. I always think, just do the song, mate. But they sort of went, oh, we're 34 now, we're really old. Oh.
And I bet you felt cross, didn't you? That's why you're knocking, because you were 34 as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's quite depressing that they're the same age as me.
Especially over Christmas time. You don't want to hear that over Christmas time,
do you?
You
don't hear that over Christmas time.
Of all the times in the year,
yeah,
at Christmas time. It is the worst. It's not just boy... You've come across like you're obsessed with boy bands.
I'm not coming across well, am I?
It doesn't matter. It's fine.
No, I wouldn't say I'm obsessed. I've got eclectic taste, mate, across the board. That's why I'm worried what's going to come up. It could be quite sort of trendy. It could be embarrassing.
That's like life, really, isn't it? It's like someone reading your diary, your musical diary.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about as well. You make a lot of films online now. You've been moving into making your own films and stuff. And I watched one I really enjoyed of yours called The Milkman.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thanks, man.
Can you tell us what that's about?
Yeah, weirdly, I studied film before I did stand-up comedy and stuff. So I just started doing it again, had an idea about a milkman. I just thought I thought they were quite interesting, milkmen.
But you don't see them anymore.
You don't really see them anymore. That's what I thought. And I spotted a milkman near where I live, and he just looked quite sad. And I sort of had a chat to him about his job, and I thought it was quite interesting. So I made a little film about them.
So what happened to... supermarkets start selling milk about 15 years ago, was it? 20 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny, I was chatting to the milkman and he was like, to be honest, mate, I don't know why people use us anymore, because it's more expensive for milkmen. I probably shouldn't be saying this, but it's more expensive going to the milkman now. So he says it sort of makes sense to go to the shop.
They've got the big six-pinters now, don't they? Buy a six-pinter.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's got bigger fridges.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're killing the milkman.
Yeah.
It must be awful, your mates gradually losing your jobs.
It's horrible, isn't it? I always thought it was quite a tragic job. You have to get up quite early. It's quite a funny little thing, though, the milk float. Oh, I thought the milk float looked quite interesting.
And why...
And I had to drive it as well. Which
that's
is...
what I'm interested by, because they go really, really slow, milk floats. Is this because of the equipment on the milk float? I mean, anyone over... Anyone under 25 is going to find this really boring. But I'm going to plough on with it. Are they really, really slow because of all the equipment on it has to... Is there some sort of weird fridge thing that keeps the milk cold on the float or not?
No, I don't think so. Not what, not the one I saw.
There's not some air conditioning thing. That's why they're out early in the morning, so that the milk doesn't heat up, right?
It just goes up to 20. The milk float that I...
But I'm talking about when you put the milk on the back.
Yeah.
There's nothing in that thing that keeps it cold.
No, I don't think so.
Not an air conditioning unit or anything on that?
No, I don't think so.
And why do they make that weird sound when they go along? Why are the engines so weird sounding?
It's just a bit crap, isn't it? It's just a crap car, I think. I'm sorry if you're a milkman. It's so hard to drive. I tried to drive it.
What's it like then?
I live on a kind of hill, so it just sort of went down the hill, and I couldn't steer it. We almost crashed it, like straight away, and then it broke down. So all the shots you see of it moving was it moving downhill. We had to just let go, and then push it back up, and then it was a nightmare to film.
And who did you hire the milk float from?
Producer found a milkman. They let us have it.
There we go. Perfect.
There you go, mate.
Easily explained. And is this online, this film? Can I watch it online?
Yeah, it's online. Yeah, just put in YouTube, Milkman Joe Bohr, B-O-R. And it's just won an award, actually, today. I just found out it's just won an award.
Congratulations. Yeah. And what award did you get?
I think it's called Kino Dot Film Festival, International Film Festival, representing UK.
That's not made up, is it?
No, it's definitely not made up, mate.
Kino Dot.
Kino Dot. Yeah, yeah. We won a little bit of money.
What, £10,000?
Yeah, well, no, not quite.
£5,000?
No, not quite that much.
£3,000?
Not quite.
£100?
a bit more. I mean, this is going to take a while, isn't it?
£103.
a bit more than that.
Well, why don't you at home guess how much money Joe won for his Kino Dot Award?
Well, you can just look on the website, mate. It says on the website.
Well, you're boasting about how much money you got for it.
I mean, it just says it on the website.
Well, how much money you got from it?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of this conversation could be solved if you just simply just listen to the first part of what we say and Google it immediately, and exactly. It's all there. Well, it's time to go on to the next song, and let's see what my beautiful iPod's got in store. I'm sure this is going to be very exciting. Here we go. And that was one of my close personal friends, Gary Newman, with our friend's Electric. Classic 80s number there. We got that on your iPod, Joe?
No, I'm not cool enough, mate. That's one of the cool ones, isn't it?
It's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I flew that one. I've missed out on Take That, and I've got that. You said you were talking about your films earlier on. You said you had a story about Cannes, the film festival. Well, you've been out there then?
I went to Cannes. I've been to... When I was at film school, I went to like a few film festivals. We used to go to Annecy a lot, because I did animation. It's pretty cool, actually.
Where's Annecy then?
It's in France. It's like a lake. It's one of the nice ones. It's pretty cool. So we used to go there. I went to Cannes, and nothing to do with the film festival, but it was on, and I was on holiday nearby. So I just thought, I'll go there for the day and check it out and just see if I can meet some famous people. And I met one famous person. It was Chico.
I mean, when you say famous, what do you mean by that?
Just sort of famous, just sort of like film stars and stuff.
Chico?
I met Chico.
What films has Chico been in?
I don't know. It was really depressing. You just walk around and you hear sort of, I overheard a producer going, I'm just trying to get someone to buy it. So it's just that sort of, it's quite a sort of desperate experience. And I actually live near Chico. I see Chico every day anyway now. Because he lives near me. He's always in my local shop.
Since he met you in France?
Yeah, I think probably, yeah. He's moved.
Talk me through the meeting then. So you see Chico, and Chico is, how did he get, he sang on X Factor or something, or one of these shows?
I think he had a song called It's Chico Time.
Is that on your iPod?
I'm not going to say, mate.
He'll be upset about that if he finds out. So you've gone to Cannes and you see Chico in the distance?
Chico was we just sort of walked past each other, and he had been to a gig that I'd done. He was in the audience, so I don't know who.
So you're saying that he recognised you?
I'm not saying anything, mate, but, you know, I'm just saying.
How did the conversation go? I'll judge it.
He just went,
He started the conversation.
I don't know if I'm going to attempt an impression because I don't know where he's from.
This could be quite racist then.
Hey,
you do the impression. I'll guess where he's from your impression.
Okay. Hey, it's a comedian guy. Oh, hey, how's it going?
He's from a kebab shop.
I mean, that's all I could do. Greek is pretty much.
So he said he's a comedian guy. So he started it.
Yeah, he was like, oh, it's the comedian guy. Hey. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. I don't quite.
Make it exciting. Make it exciting. So this is the start of it. Hey, there's. And then you said.
Yeah. And I went, hey, there's the Chico. I think we just went, hey.
Hey, there's the Chico. Okay. And that was it.
I think that was it. I don't know if it's a story. It's not really.
That was your can story.
I mean, it's not really a story, mate. I just saw Chico. It's definitely not a story.
No, it's just a mild acquaintance.
Yeah, it's not a story, is it?
So you, and then since you've seen Chico again.
I see him a lot now.
Where do you live? In North London? Or?
Yeah, I live in North London. I don't know if I should say the area, just in case he might have
Chico stalkers.
But he does like walk around with a hoodie up and like a cap and like sunglasses because he's quite scared that he's going to get noticed.
Are you sure it's Chico?
It could be anyone.
Do you say, hey?
He just says, oh, here's the comedian guy.
Every time we see each other?
Yeah.
And you say, hey, it's the Chico.
I say, oh, hey, Chico. And he goes, don't say Chico. I don't want people to know. No, he doesn't. I'm exaggerating.
Hang on a minute.
It's definitely Chico, though.
You just say, hey, it's Chico to any guy in there with hoodie. He's got his cap up. He's got his sunglasses.
Mate, it's definitely him. It's definitely
how do you
him.
Know?
Because I've heard like the odd like screaming girl go, oh, it's Chico, and he's like, hey girls, please calm down.
What happened? Because Chico seemed to be courting fame quite heavily in his early career. Now he's really turned against it. I mean,
I haven't seen him. I mean, I've seen him. I haven't seen him on the telly. I see him all the time.
I'm going to investigate this a bit more. Where do you see Chico?
I see him in the local shop. I live in an area.
Right, is it a
wait? Should I say the area?
Is it? Yeah, go on.
I mean, it's not a good. He doesn't go into like a. He goes into a local Greek shop, actually. And they're like, oh, hey, Chico. And he's like, hello, it's Chico. Maybe he's just related to him.
What sort of shop do you see him in? Is it a Waitrose? Or
it's
is
like
it
a Greek supermarket. It's struggling because they've opened a lot of supermarkets nearby now. So I'm glad he goes in there, and I make a point to go in there a little bit.
So if you in a. You and Chico are saving
with the celebs,
the Greek supermarket. Yeah. In what area is it?
It's Cockfosters. So there's a lot of footballers that live around there as well. If you like footballers, I'd sort of, you know, and if you like Chico, then.
And what do you say when you see a footballer, Joe? I'm really intrigued.
I get a selfie, mate. I always get a selfie. We're Facebook friends, aren't we?
Yeah, you do put a lot of selfies on it.
I love a selfie, mate. I'm not ashamed to get a selfie.
I'll
get one at some point.
How do you approach someone to get a selfie? And who's the most famous person you've got a selfie of on your phone?
I've got Arnie, I've got De Niro, I've got Will Smith and Bradley Cooper.
I've seen
one.
That one, yeah.
It's a good one, isn't it? I'll tell you what I did the other day. I got that photo and I did, I don't know if you see this going round.
So you're doing, let me explain, you do warm-up, do you, for TV shows?
I do warm-up for TV shows, sorry.
And then you meet these big celebrities. I mean, they're not big, they're just other celebrities, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, but I actually used that photo the other day to do the, you know, the app of, you can guess, judge.
There's a new thing that judges, what's it called? It judges how old you are.
How old you look, yeah.
And what's it called? How old you look?
It's called howold.net. How-old.net.
Very clever branding.
I mean, yeah, self-explanatory.
And you upload your photo to it and it guesses how old you are.
So, yeah, I did the one with Will Smith and Bradley Cooper.
And how old does it say you all are?
I'm 34 years old. It says I look 38.
Okay.
But it does say Bradley Cooper looks 39 and Will Smith looks 40.
But they are both that age, aren't they?
I think they're a bit older than that.
Will Smith is nearly 50 now, so he's doing well.
Yeah.
And I think Bradley Cooper's about 40 as well.
Yeah, so they're not. But I've used other selfies. So I'm not accepting that. So I've done the one with... I've got another one with... The goodness gracious me.
And how old are you in that one?
36. Like it won't. And then I got one of me and my wife. I'm 39 in that one.
Do you moisturise, Joe?
I'm 36 in that one. I didn't think I needed to. I will do now.
I don't want to go on this app. Because I think...
Mate, if anything, you'll be younger.
No, because it will do a thing where it will read whether you're bald or not. And if you are bald, it'll add 10 years on this baldness.
I think we've got to do it.
No, I don't want to be a part of this. I do not want to be a part of this Facebook generation. So when you go up to Bradley's, Will Smith and Bradley Cooper...
Yeah, it's the different... I think you've got to judge every situation differently, I think.
It's my hobby to get selfies with celebrities. As someone who may or may not have the same hobby, how do you approach it?
Okay, I mean, so like someone like Bradley Cooper and Will Smith, that was fairly easy because they're nice... pretty nice.
Do you just have the phone out already? Hey, just do that. Hey, take a photo.
Yeah. So normally, if you're doing warm up, that's usually good to mention it. Hey, I was the guy doing the. Sometimes they've seen you do the thing like Arnie. I think had seen me and his entourage, or he's got security, so he went, "Oh yeah, I saw you do the thing. Well done." That's Arnie.
You wouldn't think he'd have security, would you? Being Arnie, unfortunately.
No, I know. Yeah. But actually, I mean, the photo, I'm bigger than him. Not muscly-wise.
Are you saying
I'm
you could
taller.
Beat him in a...
I'm not saying that, mate. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm bigger. I'm physically taller. I'm a bit taller. He could definitely have me.
But he's about 60, 70 now, isn't he?
Yeah. And maybe I could have him.
Is he still ripped?
He's quite wide. Yeah, I think he's ripped. He goes to the gym twice a day.
What in the morning? What would you mean?
In the morning.
How many?
He leaves and then he comes back.
How long of a break does it have to be twice?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's excessive, isn't it? It's a lot of time.
You become really dull.
Yeah, but I don't know, if you go in the morning, then at night, you've still got the day.
Depends how long you go for, really, isn't it? If you do half an, but it's just saying you've got to do two short bursts in the gym.
Why not go for one big one?
Yeah. Save so much time.
Yeah.
You don't have to shower again. You don't have to go and get changed again. You should have said, just go for a longer session, Arnie.
If I'd have said that, I probably wouldn't be able to get the selfie.
Is it your favourite selfie?
It's a good one. I got one with De Niro, which isn't great.
He's supposed to be quite shy, isn't he?
He's quite shy. Yeah.
How do you know he's shy?
He was quite shy on the show. He was on the Graham Norton show at the time. And he's the only person I've seen tell an anecdote and then just tail off on the show. He just sort of like lost confidence in it.
Really?
I mean, we all sort of do that sometimes. We go, oh, that, I mean, like my Cannes
story. I went to Cannes, I saw Chico. He saw me.
Yeah. I mean, he had similar, you know, type stories. And then he just went, oh, forget it. But I've never seen that happen on the Graham Norton show.
But he must have.
De Niro.
Maybe that's the thing. If you play really interesting parts, you gradually become more introverted because people have written this stuff for you. And you realise your life is pretty boring. You all just spend it in film trailers the whole time.
Yeah.
You must have spent so much time sitting in one of those awful caravans. It's probably quite a nice one for De Niro.
Yeah, of course.
Waiting to be called on to set.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he'd done a talk show. Famously, he hadn't done a talk show for like about 20 years or something. And then he went on and I don't think he was enjoying that sort of chat.
I saw that one, I think.
Yeah.
He was wearing a hat, wasn't he?
He was wearing a hat.
that famous talk show when he was wearing a hat. But he did come across as shy, and I thought, what I found odd about it is, I thought, surely you can pretend.
Yeah, you can act confident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just do that smile. He's acted so many confident, but more difficult situations than that.
Well, I think actors find it quite awkward on those chat shows because they would rather act, I think.
I saw the Tom Cruise one with Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
When he was promoting Oblivion. And it was quite odd because it felt as though Emily Blunt had been brought on as Tom Cruise's almost like a carer. Because he didn't have anything to say and she would finish off. It reminded me of an old couple where the bloke has sort of lost it and then his wife's there saying, this is what happened and here's a funny part of the story and everyone feels confident and he thinks that he's telling it and shaking his head. It was really awkward because he was so dull.
Really?
Everyone was just laughing at his stories, but just because it's Tom Cruise. Even Graham Norton, behind his eyes, you could see, and Graham Norton's brilliant at pretending to be
just
everyone.
Yeah.
But even then I thought, even he's thinking Tom Cruise is boring.
I mean, Graham loves Tom. And Tom has got... Tom, T-Dog. He's got a great handshake. That's all I remember about Tom.
What do you mean? Not one of those horrible,
perfect,
firm ones.
It's not too firm. It's not too tickly. It's just sort of bang on. Really good. It's a really good... I can't... It's not sweaty. It's not dry. It's like... I mean, he's obviously...
Like a robot.
Done a lot of... Not even like a robot. Had a bit of personality to it.
What do you mean? The finger?
No finger stroking.
Was there a small drag on the finger?
No drag, mate.
So it was a really flat boring.
No, I think it had a bit of character to it.
How can you put character in? What, as in the Masons when they do the knuckle thing?
Yeah, I can't explain it. It was just like, it was just bang on. I remember thinking that's a good handshake.
If that's your handshake, what else can you do? That's how his success in Hollywood is down to that handshake.
Yeah, I think it's all about the handshake, mate. It's very important.
Well, I think it's time that
I went for a hug, but you know,
you can't do that with Tom Cruise. I did a short film the other day. And you know, sort of makeup. When you do short films, everyone's in the acting world. Everyone's quite huggy and sort of kissy.
Yeah.
So I went to shake the director's hand. I was only doing like a little scene in it, and he gave me a big hug. And then the makeup lady was there. I went to lean in for a kiss, and she did that thing when she pulled her head away. Really funny. You know, just that kiss on the cheek thing. I just did it automatically. She think, oh, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And she just went and moved her head away. It was really awkward. I just felt like a horrible old man.
Do you have a sweaty face?
No, it wasn't sweaty. No, I mean, 50% of the time I'm quite. I've got a bit of sweat, but yeah. I was very dry this day, Joe.
Well, weirdly, I first time I met Graham Norton when I came off.
Tried to kiss him.
I went for a shake with my right hand, but he went with his left hand, and we ended up walking out holding hands.
Who goes for a shake with their left hand?
He went for a shake with his left hand, I went right, and we just ended up like walking hold. It was really weird. We just sort of like, it was, but you know.
Well, you didn't let go.
Yes, not for a while.
But no one goes for a shake with their left hand.
No, no one does, do they?
Did maybe he have a hand injury or something? Or
maybe there was, maybe he had something in his hand. Sometimes some people go for the right and the left. And it's a bit, it is awkward, isn't it? You do end up, we're doing
you
it
You can't
now.
Do it. You have to, you, yeah. you do that sort of weird. But surely, I mean, we've had two incredible stories here. We've had the Chico. The Chico meeting in Cannes, when you saw Chico and you ignored each other.
Gold.
And then the handshake,
gold.
Where yeah. Graham Norton.
Just held my hand.
May have had something in his hand.
They're terrible stories.
Did you?
I'm so sorry.
Did you look and see if he's got anything in the hand?
He probably did have something, like probably picked his nose or something.
But we'll never know if he had that something in.
Graham, if you're listening, phone in.
We will never know. I think it's time for. Do you want to plug your iPhone in? And while we get ready, I just want to think about that hand thing again.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Oh, this is a good one.
And here we go. What is it?
It is a good one.
Just press play then.
In those days, we were lions.
What a nice way to end a song. In those days, we were lions. That was Tired Pony.
Yeah.
It's a crap name for a band, isn't it?
It's one of those things where you hear it in a bar, you Shazam it and you buy it.
What sort of bar are you in? You, Chico...
Yeah, we're just hanging out, me and Chico.
Holding Graham Norton's left hand. On comes Tired Pony. All the things, what is it, all things?
All the things. Oh, I don't know. It's all the things, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. All the things.
There something. We go. And we are professional radio DJs. Now, if you have been listening earlier, you may have missed something very exciting. You were talking about the how old... photo.
Can't believe it, mate.
And we took is a application on the internet where you take a photo of yourself on your phone,
yeah.
And it reads the faces and puts an age above your head. And I'm 38 and probably looking, you know, all of those years, if not more. And Joe's taken a photo of both of us. And would you like to tell us the results, Joe?
Yeah, I'm 34. It's come out 37 for me. And I don't know how this has happened, but you've got the face of a 35-year-old.
And I'm 38, so I'm winning by 6 years. How about you tweet your own how old pictures in to at FUBAR Radio, or you can phone us for no reason at all on 0330-223-0200. I quite like doing that. I feel like I'm in an 80 television programme.
Yeah, you've got the right voice for
it. Don't read telephone numbers anymore, do they?
No, do they not?
But it used to be the whole time, didn't it? But now, do you want to do it? See how you do it.
Yeah, yeah. 0330-223-0200. Double O?
It was too long.
Too sexual.
03302230200.
Oh, okay.
There's something about speaking into a DJ sort of radio microphone that turns me into a bit of a twat. Even more than I am normally.
Mate, you're doing great.
And you are listening to the James Acaster show. He's not here, but he's a stink from anyway. James Acaster on FUBAR Radio. Where is James Acaster?
Where is he? Is he in New Zealand or Australia? Or?
He's gone to Melbourne, but yeah. I covered it for him a couple of weeks ago, and he's been away for a very, very long time. I mean, long. I mean, his computer website's probably going to have a gap like yours. That weird hospital jail gap in it where he's disappeared.
I need to update it.
Has anyone heard from James Acaster?
Yeah, if you have.
If you have, tweet in at FUBAR Radio.
Or call us on 0330. I take too long to do this, don't I? 0330 223020. I see, I've mixed them up there. I hate when, you know, when people do the 0207, you know, but it should be 0207, I think.
I'd rather than 0207.
Yeah, there shouldn't be a gap in between the 0 and the 7.
If you want to tell us how you should say numbers, why not tweeting at FUBAR Radio? How to say numbers.
How do you do yours? What? No, I mean, don't you know, you don't have to say your number. How do you do your mobile one? Do you do the 5, the 3, then 3?
I'm trying to say it without saying my name. It's really bad. I can't think of my mobile number without saying it out loud.
Do your mum's.
I need to do it by the... I only know my number pretty much. I don't know anyone's number anymore.
Yeah, you don't need to.
I'm going
to
try and say my number, but saying do instead of the number.
Okay.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
How do you do yours?
But you do 2-3-3-3. I go...
No, you have to say do instead of it.
Oh, God. Do, 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 do. Yeah, same, pretty much the same, isn't it?
So if you want to text us directly, just text us on those two numbers you heard before. I mean, this has gone really weird. This section has gone really weird. Now, you must have some more. I'm waiting for the third story in this trilogy of amazing Joe Bohr stories. We've had the Chico meeting. Graham Norton handshake.
Yeah.
You must have, in your selfie collecting storybook, there must be one more.
Oh, I need to have a think, really. There's quite a few.
Has anyone said no?
No one said no. I saw a celebrity last week say no.
To someone else?
Yeah.
And what, someone, one of the production?
A fan.
Oh, no.
I did warm up live at the Palladium for Sunday at the Palladium. Sorry, because it's not live. For Jack White or was presenting, and one of, I don't know if I should say this because it's not out yet. It's fine, isn't it? I said it. A musician from the 1980s, probably. He was famous. I think he was famous in the 1980s. Someone I quite liked. Who? It's horrible when you really like them.
Must be in a boy band.
They were a singer.
Still alive?
They have red hair. That's easy, isn't it now?
Mick Hucknall?
Yeah. He's sort of like, someone, can I get a photo with you? And he went, bye. He didn't even come up with an excuse. Got to go. Bye. I thought, why don't you just get a photo? Just do a photo, mate.
It's not really that hard, is it? All you need to do is just smile.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason is, I think, if you had something up your nose.
Yeah.
Cold, you had a cold, someone had just died.
I'd still do it.
If you had a cold.
If I had a cold, I'd do it.
Yeah, something up your nose.
Yeah.
And someone had just died.
Yeah, or all of them at the same time.
All three.
Yeah, I'd do it, mate. I think I'm trying to think of someone, a time where it's gone wrong with a photo, but I don't think. I think they've always said yes.
And what do you do with them? Do you have a wall in your house where you've printed all the pictures out and you have put them in order of your favourite?
I've got a couple on the wall. I've got Lee Evans, because I did a gig with him, and I like Lee Evans. That was a nice photo. And then I have got Chris Rock one.
Framed?
It's not framed, but it's up there.
Is it in your bedroom above the bed?
Over the one of me and my wife. It's in the study. It's motivation, mate.
You've got a study?
Yeah, I've got to study. That might make me sound like I'm doing well.
Yeah, it sounds like you're focused. Do you sit there and work from home and look at your Chris Rock picture and go,
one day,
would Chris say this?
Chris wouldn't say anything that I say. I talk a lot about being Jewish, so.
If Chris Rock was Jewish, would he say?
He probably wouldn't. what was I talking about? It's studying that. It's nice. Do you not have a study? Do you have a study?
No.
Where do you work? Coffee shops.
I work in my mind. I have a desk in my bedroom.
Yeah. I still go to coffee shops to work.
I can't do it with background music.
Really?
No, I can't work. I don't like it. There's too many speakers. Here's my... Is this being an old man?
Yeah.
There's too many speakers in pubs and in coffee shops.
Yeah.
What happened to the quiet coffee shops? And why can't they play classical music?
The worst for me is when you're on holiday by a pool and then they... For some reason, it's always like...
Well, it depends where you're going on holiday, really.
Yeah, am I going to the wrong places?
Where are you going?
I don't know, like... Wherever I go, though, mate.
What, in Cannes?
Yeah, I just want to hang out with my friend Chico. We want holding hands with Graham. I mean, we just want to chillax.
I'm worried about Chico. Maybe we should get Chico on the show.
He would definitely do it. He would definitely do
but
it.
He sounds like he's a bit sad these days.
Yeah, that's why he'd definitely do it. He wouldn't be life and soul. He wouldn't have the stories that I've got.
But you want to hear that, don't you? It's like Schadenfreude. You want to hear someone doing really, really badly.
Yeah.
And then I wonder if he tells the same story. If he goes, oh... In a parallel world, he's on a radio show, yeah. Feeling really depressed. And he's like, what have I got? What have I got? I've got the Joe Ball story. Okay, let's go for another. If you pass me the pluggy thing,
yeah.
I'm going to go for something, hopefully. I mean, there's nothing too embarrassing so far.
We're doing all right, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We should be very, very proud of ourselves. Mm. Right, let's see what is coming up next.
On FUBAR Radio.
No, it is not James Acaster. It is Marek Larwood with special guest Joe Bohr with some fascinating stories. That was LCD Sound System with someone great. I think one of the greatest songs of all time. Are you a big fan of LCD Sound System?
I don't know, mate, but that sounded good. I like that.
They're one of the bands that, you know, you've got music you like initially and you begin to hate after the third or fourth track,
yeah.
And then when it comes up on your iPod after a while, you start to hate yourself, thinking, was I this? How could I have ever been the person who liked this? Who am I?
Yeah.
What is the point of my existence? Whereas LCD Sound System, every time we have one of their songs,
you're proud.
It gets better and better.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have compilations? Do you make compilations?
No, I just like individual songs, and most of them are rubbish. But today, I'm coming across pretty cool.
Yeah, you're doing
Gary Newman, LCD Sound System. Yeah, that's right. Joe, you've been doing a bit of cartoon work. Tell me about this.
Yeah, I'm just getting back into drawing, mate. I studied animation.
How do you study animation, then?
I did it as a degree about a long time ago. I started studying about 15 years ago. And then I made an animation called My Third Arm, which went to loads of film festivals.
Sounds a bit saucy, mate.
It's not saucy, mate.
Okay.
It was about a guy who had a third arm on his head and felt different from everyone else. And it went to loads of film festivals, won a few awards. I went to Edinburgh, and that's when I started getting into comedy. But... yeah, and I sort of forgot about it. I was an animator for a bit. Worked in an animation company. And
what did you have to do? Just sit there? Do you get a lot of pen on your fingers?
Just drawing and stuff. And
but it's all computerised now, isn't it?
There's people still do drawing. I sort of did character design and storyboarding and just sort of planning it all out. But yeah, there's a lot of computer animation now. So what I hated about it is you'd spend a lot of time doing something that would be so short, you know, whereas comedy's quite immediate. You could just do it. And you could find out whether what you're doing was any good, whereas you could spend a year on an animation that's 5 minutes long and then find out it's rubbish by the end of
it. It's like those Artman animations. Most of those were started in the Stone Age. True fact. That was as true as your Joey Fat One. What's his name?
Yeah.
So you're doing drawings at what?
Yeah.
Cartoon. You said to me you were doing a cartoon a day, or two or three cartoons a day.
I try and do like a little, a few sketches a day, and then I put them up on my Instagram, in the hope that it would get a few likes. And then Joe is on. Yeah, Joe Bore One. B-O-R, Joe Bore.
Joe Bore One.
Yeah.
Is there a Joe Bore already then?
There's another Joe Bore. Don't get me started about that guy.
I want to talk about this other Joe Bore. Do you know who he is?
No, but he is the bane of my life, this guy.
Is he? If you want, the one thing is, if you've got someone the same name as you, you don't want them to be like tech aware.
He is tech aware. He's on Twitter.
He's got Joe Bore, Hotmail, Joe Bore.
Because on Twitter, I'm Joseph Bore.
He's Joe Bore.
He's the Joe Bore. I assume it's the same Joe Bore. He's quite popular as well. There's YouTube of this guy. Of these girls going, oh, we love Joe Bore. And they're definitely not talking about me.
Who is he? American, is he?
He's, you know, when he one of those guys who just wears sunglasses and has muscles. That guy.
I know a lot of guys like that.
That's him. Yeah. I mean, I don't like him.
Do you think in your head that when you do gigs and you perform,
yeah,
that he is getting a lot of your fans?
Yeah, definitely, because I'm not getting his fans. There'll be people messaging him going, that was great the other night, and he's probably there going, oh, thanks very much, and just soaking it up, because he is, yeah, he's the Joe Bore.
You never contacted him at all? Said he, and he's got the Joe Bore at Gmail, all the Joe Bores. He's got a Joe Bore license plate on his car.
I wouldn't want the Joe Bore license plate. I saw a ridiculous license plate today that simply just said kiss me. I mean, that is ridiculous, isn't it?
What car was it on though?
It was on like a Bentley.
Really?
Yeah. Kiss me.
Are you sure it was on a Bentley?
Yeah, but one of the S's was a 6, but it still looked... I mean, it was kiss me. Yeah. I wouldn't. Would you get a personalised number plate?
No, I think they... as soon as I see one, I think arsehole. It's the first... You think you've literally got $5,000 to spare on having a selection of letters that make you look more of a dick than you are already.
Yeah.
There's never been one. I think when you were about 5 years old, or you think they're cool.
Yeah.
But every time, as an adult, you see a personalised number plate, I think start saying out loud things like Bellend as soon as I see them.
Well, you could you could get Marek, and then the E could be like a 3.
It's rubbish though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's you. It's not you, mate.
There's one on our road that's got a slightly personalised... I can't remember what it is, but it's one of those things where they've got not just one, like the 3's and E, but it's like the P's supposed to be... Sort of,
oh, that's God.
There's quite a few letters there, so it's like, what? I'm not even sure... I know it's supposed to be a personalised number plate, because it's not a normal number plate,
yeah,
but it's not coming across.
It's not
what
clear
you need
enough.
Yeah.
I feel the same about tattoos.
Are you anti-tattoo?
I'm not anti it. I don't think I've seen a good one. Although I made the mistake of saying it the other day in front of my mate who was like not surrounded, he was covered in tattoos.
I mean, that's a nice word.
Surrounded.
If someone's been a tattoo against their will, they are surrounded by tattoos.
He's ambushed by tattoos. He was covered in tattoos.
It's a much better word.
Yeah.
He's surrounded in tattoos.
He was overcome with tattoos. He had a lot of tattoos. But I don't think I've seen... I saw quite a nice one of Toad from...
Toad of Toad Hall.
The computer game from Mario Kart. I quite liked that one.
I have a lot of my friends, older friends on Facebook from school.
Yeah.
You know when you see someone like a geeky kid at school?
Yeah, yeah.
And you think, oh, they were a bit of a loser at school. And then their Facebook thing, something comes up on Facebook that they've got a tattoo, like a proper arm tattoo.
Oh, God.
When it's just, and they look like an accountant. It's really odd. I was watching Come Dine With Me, before the show, and there was a bloke with an awful... tattoo, really awful tattoo on it. It had a fingerprint on his arm, but it just looked out of place. He didn't look.
It looked dirty.
It just looked too bright, and he looked like as if he was an accountant with a tattoo.
Didn't go.
Just trying to be someone. He's trying to be someone he's not, and tattoos cannot change you. You can't change who you are. Isn't that right?
Yes. Would you get like a barcode?
Oh, I hate them all. I really hate them.
I did
I'd
a joke
just
about
get a
tattoo.
Watch or something. So I'd get one that would look really normal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wristwatch. So I just got that in.
I almost got a tattoo I was on my stag do when my friends were like, cause I've got a joke about a tattoo.
No, you didn't get a tattoo just so you could do a joke.
It's a punchline to a joke when I say, there's a thing about, I do a thing, you know, this guy, oh, I chatted up a girl once because she had a tattoo.
Just tell the whole thing, come on. You can't just do it halfway, the whole thing.
I chatted up a girl once, she was quite sexy, she had like a tattoo on her shoulder, and I went, what's that on your shoulder? She went, I've got piglet on my shoulder, and I've got Eeyore on my ankle. And I went, all right, I've got poo on my bum. So,
oh, so you're going to have a tattoo of Winnie the...
going to get Winnie the Pooh on my bum. But it's quite furry.
What, the bear or your bum?
The bum. So it would be pointless. It would just...
Unless you just got a tattoo. What would be funny, I think, because you've got... And I've got a poo on my bum, and people would think it would be a tattoo of Winnie the Pooh. But if you had a tattoo of actual poo on, like, a stain of poo, that would be... That is pulling. It's a bit of a rug pull, isn't it?
Yeah. Would you do it in the show, in a stand-up show? Just go, I've got poo on my bum.
What, with no, what, oh, no, sorry. No build-up?
Sorry, that is actual poo.
No build-up, just that. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mark Larwood. I've got poo on my bum. And I pull my trousers down and have a tattoo of some poo on my bum. You can... I don't think this is one of the reasons I wouldn't do stand up. Well, not because of that. I just hate.
You did. You were brilliant.
No, it was just. It was just a very strange time in my life when maybe I needed more attention than I do now.
Do you not miss it? Do you miss it?
No. A lot of people love it. I hated stand up.
Why? Why did you not?
It's when, you know, when people say, if you're a stand-up comedian, a lot of people say, oh, stand-up, yeah? I could never do that, standing up in front of all those people. I'd be absolutely petrified. Well, that's what I felt the whole time.
I never
enjoyed it. There's a moment, you know, before you, the moment of clarity you get sometimes when you're really nervous,
yeah.
And I don't know if it makes your brain function properly for a brief 5 seconds. Say you've been writing a joke or doing it in any sort of walk of life, you get to the point where you have it 5 seconds. I think, all right, this is exactly what's going to happen. I realise exactly what's going to happen. I had that moment of clarity just as you, someone say, next on stage is Merrick Larwood. In those 5 seconds that walked to the microphone,
yeah,
it was just that, oh, what? Why have I done this to myself?
Yeah.
Why have I done this to myself? I'll probably have a chance to say it twice and then have to start. Hello!
You have to sound excited, don't you?
It depends what you do. What sound up you do. I'm just toast. My comedy barometer's completely malfunctioning now because when you're a stand-up, you have to see it so often, so associated with work, yeah. I can no longer tell any idea what's funny.
Can you not appreciate comedy? Do you go to comedy? Would you watch comedy?
I went to see Josh Howie's show, who was a guest on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was great because it was a really interesting personal show and a story. I don't like comedy for comedy's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. I wouldn't really go to it, I think, because it just feels like work. It feels like you shouldn't really pay for it.
Yeah.
Would you go to see a comedy night? Do you ever go and see stuff?
I do. I had a night off and my dad invited me to a comedy show, Alexi Sale. And I went along. And I felt like I should go to more comedy. Because I used to love going to comedy, but now I feel like, it's my night off. I don't want to, you know, it feels like you're going to work on your day off.
Your hobby becomes your job.
When your hobby becomes your job.
That's a terrifying thing, isn't it? It's what happens. Your hobby becomes your job.
Yeah.
Then what have you got left?
But I love it. I love watching acts that I'm on with. I had a really nice weekend this weekend with, you know, some great comics. Luke Tolson and Bobby Mayer, Mark Nelson. It was just really nice watching great comedy. And I sort of had to do my stuff as well, which is all right. But I do still love watching comedy. It still takes it away when you know how it's done. You can see through it a bit.
Mm.
It's like watching a film when you know how they make the film. It takes the magic away a bit.
I could put something which you can watch over and over again. Jaws. If Jaws comes on telly.
Jaws is all right.
I always watch it. Jaws is
Dumb and Dumber, mate.
You always watch it?
Yeah.
Is that one of the films you always watch if you see the start of it?
I could watch Dumb and Dumber over and over. I've probably seen that more than.
And what did you think of Dumb and Dumber 2? Or was it called Dumb? I just saw. This is terrible. I mean, in these days of reviewing things so quickly, I just saw. I think it was their film 2015, whatever it is, the review of it got absolutely slated.
Yeah,
so I thought, was it funny though?
It's not a film for reviewers. It is. I mean, it was nice seeing the characters again. There were a couple of amazing moments, but it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't nowhere near as good as the first one, I don't think.
I feel the same with 21 Jump Street, which I absolutely loved.
I love that film.
But I couldn't stand 22 Jump Street.
You couldn't stand it? I thought it was all right.
21 Jump Street was... I was amazed by how funny it was. 22 Jump Street, really
disappointed.
Really disappointed.
Yeah.
Because what's-his-name was a real revelation for me. The good-looking guy.
Yeah, Channing Tatum.
Who is brilliant. Really great comic actor.
My wife, yeah, likes him too much, yeah.
Yeah, and he used to be a stripper, didn't he? So he did, Magic Mike.
I went to Magic Mike. I was the only man in the cinema.
A lot of the time when you go out, are you the only... Do you go purposely?
Because I want to be the only man.
Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, Magic Mike.
It's nice being the only man.
Well...
So that sounded creepy.
On that note, can you please...
Okay.
Play your next song, The Only Man. That was Breakthrough by Troubadour, spelt T-R-W-B-A-D-O. I wonder if there was another band, like the Joe Bohr thing, called Troubadour, and they thought, oh, no, we can't do Troubadour now because someone's taken that, or Troubadour's traditional singing. We've got to do a really bad spelling, Troubadour.
Yeah.
Mightn't even pronounce it that way.
Are they? I don't even know where they're from. Do you know where they're from? Do you reckon?
It's on your iPod. You can't stop ask me where they're from on my iPod. So what else have you been doing apart from gigging and meeting celebrities?
Drawings,
anything exciting? What's the most exciting thing you did? Were you excited about the royal baby being born?
I don't know how I feel about the royal baby, really. I feel like I should tweet about it just because every comic is tweeting about it.
I almost don't want anything to happen in the news.
Yeah.
Because when it does happen... It's just a barrage of people making slightly rubbish jokes about it.
Yeah, you feel obliged to sort of make
I think
a
you
joke.
Should stop feeling obliged.
Just don't
I think
feel
all
obliged.
Comics should just go, do you know what? Maybe people just want something in the news to happen without 500 different sort of jokes about it.
I'm getting excited about the election. Can we talk about that? Is that allowed?
Yes, we're allowed to talk about the election. And what are you getting excited about?
I really like Miliband, mate. I've really... He's am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, because we like.
He's just got pretty cool, hasn't he? I think he's just.
On what grounds do you think he's got cool?
I don't know. He's just sort of. He's clearly had PR training, hasn't he? He's quite smiley. He's quite affable. Seems very likable.
Do you not
he's
think
a man of the people?
When you ever you watch these politicians debating,
yeah,
that all of them are look as though they've just been coached for 2 hours by a PR person. Ed Miliband does this thing where he moves his hand repeatedly. And it's not natural. David Cameron was doing a thing where someone had clearly told him to be upbeat and really go for it the other day.
Yeah, too much, isn't it?
And then they do the name thing by giving everyone's name.
Thank
and saying,
you, Susan. I'm glad you said that, Susan. Yeah.
It's just a lie. It's just and they all have photos of them in the kitchen. I looked for there's photos of Ed Miliband in his kitchen, David Cameron plaiting his daughter's hair or something before she went to school.
Yeah.
It's just what can be. I want an old fashioned MP who's just, you know, doing up his flies or something like that. Well, no, maybe not that, but.
But Ed Miliband's done some fun stuff. He played snooker with Ronnie O'Sullivan. It's better than just kissing a baby. Normally they just kiss a baby.
I've got a story about kissing a baby.
You kissed a baby?
Well, no. I was doing a show I did a show called We Are Clan. I was in a sketch group.
Yeah, I loved We Are Clan.
And we filmed a series.
Yeah.
And one of it was, we did a show about an election.
Yeah.
And we had a party and we formed our own political party called the Be Nice to People Party.
Yeah.
And of course, it was the joke was that it was the initials were BNP, as in Be Nice to People. And we had a big musical number with the black choir singing vote for the Be Nice to People Party, and then they were singing vote for the BNP. It was funny. Anyway,
yeah, that sounds great.
What happened was, on set, we did a bit... where we're doing a montage scene where we're trying to promote our party, and the other Callender went up and he stroked a dog's head and he kissed this baby.
Yeah.
And I had to come along and stroke the baby's head and kiss this dog. So in order for this to happen, they got a special dog on they phoned a dog company,
yeah,
to get this dog on the set. They had specially trained dogs,
yeah,
to be on TV. So we're on set and this dog arrived, and the bloke holding it was this, he had a huge beard and looked like a tramp. He was wearing almost like a bin bag with a rope tied around his waist, and he was holding a stick. And the dog he brought with him, yeah, was his Jack Russell. No word of a lie, his arse was hanging out. Half his arse was hanging out.
The dog?
Yeah, and it stank, yeah. And he said, she's been on... she's been worrying the sheep. And I said, she's been worrying the sheep because she's been on heat. And I was like, what is that? It's really, really weird.
Yeah.
So we did the bit where the first guy walks through, he's the other mayoral candidate, he sort of kisses the baby and strokes his dog's head.
Yeah.
And I went through and I patted the baby and went to kiss his dog. And this dog started growling at my face, like properly. I had to kiss the dog. And
where'd you kiss the dog?
On the face. And he was, yeah, doing this. You can see it if you look at it on YouTube. Almost bit my face off. And I was like, this is really weird. It stank as well. So we filmed the scene. Yeah. We went back to the set. Mm. And there's a bus. And when you're filming stuff, they have like a bus where you'll have your food on there. This is the easiest thing on location. So everyone's having their lunch. And now this lady standing there looking really pissed off. And she said, "What's happening? What's happening? I thought I was supposed to be on set." She was a dog trainer, yeah, and in the back of her car, she had two dogs. She brought with her properly trained dogs, like one really nice sort of Labradors and a smaller sort of poodle. This bloke with a dog I kissed.
The weird dog.
Yeah, he was an extra. Who brought
a dog extra?
No, he was an extra. Oh, one of those, okay, weirdos you get to bring in. Who was holding a stick, and he brought his dog onto set because it was worrying his sheep. So he brought his dog to the film set.
So you kissed the wrong dog?
I kissed some bloke who got his dog, probably got, whose dog had rabies.
You did kiss the bloke?
Not in short. No, I didn't kiss the bloke.
Yeah.
His dog. And I kissed this rabid dog on set. And the producers shut their pants because it almost bit my face off and they would have got sued. So there is my moderately interesting dog story for you.
Right,
always check where a dog is from before you try and get off with it.
I don't like this whole getting off with animals. Because people do it.
No, hang on a minute. I wasn't getting off. I was just kissing the dog on the side of her face. I wasn't getting off with a dog. It's not that sort of thing. People get off with animals.
My wife kisses the cat a lot.
Yeah, but you said you didn't like this. People getting off with animals. And you said my wife kisses the cat a lot.
She gets off with the cat. I mean, she's obsessed with the cat. The cat isn't a model now. She signed the cat up to a modelling agency.
How good looking is your cat?
It's a really sexy... One of my friends is like, that is a sexy cat. He's not allowed around anymore. But like...
For what reason?
It is, because he keeps going on about how sexy the cat is.
What sort of cat is it?
I mean, don't get excited, mate.
I'm allergic to cats. You're safe.
It's a beautiful cat. It's a beautiful cat. I don't know what they call it. It's like we call it Simba. It's like a... it's like a stripy orange. I don't really know.
Tabby.
The make, whatever. Yeah.
A make of cat.
I'm not a cat person, but she loves it. She's obsessed with it. She's obsessed with the cat.
Do you think, and this is going to sound awful,
she wants the cat to sleep in the bed. She does want the cat to sleep in the bed. I won't have it. He stays downstairs.
Did you? Oh, so he as well?
Yeah.
That must be more difficult for you. How long have you had the cat for?
We've had it for about 2 years, maybe a year and a half.
And has your wife sort of been acting differently towards you since the...
She's less... I'm not going to lie, she's definitely less affectionate since we've had the cat. She won't be listening. I hope she's not listening.
So you've got a real problem with this cat?
I have, mate, actually, yeah.
And you know how a long cat's live for? Another 12, 14 years?
Too long, yeah. But he'll bring in money soon, now he's got the modelling. So he'll pay his way.
What sort of modelling?
Just like Cravendale, like just in adverts and stuff. They make a bit of money. But she doesn't want to... She says whatever money he gets, it needs to go back to him. Which is ridiculous.
Are you kidding? What, he's going to spend it on stuff?
Yeah.
He's going to start pimping your... We know there's balls of wool everywhere. Oh, I can't... Can we move it to the other way? What stuff do cats buy? Those scratching sticks.
Yeah, just like what, like beds. He never isn't it. We got a bed for him. We had to do shopping for him and buy him loads of stuff.
He owes you money then.
He definitely owes us money, if anything. We've got like scratchy sticks and like. I had to buy loads of stuff, like a little house for him. He doesn't even sleep on the bed. He sleeps on the sofa. So all my clothes are covered in him.
Why?
Because he just sleeps everywhere. He just wipes himself on me all the time. He's a friendly cat. He just sort of flops on you. He's a nice cat. I mean.
So this money this cat earns.
Yeah.
Your wife's saying he's got to keep it, but who's been buying this? Have you been paying for it all?
I mean, she buys most of it because it's her. I see it's her cat.
Do you think she spends more on the cat than she does on you?
Definitely. Yeah. She doesn't buy me food. She doesn't buy me a bed or a scratchy post.
What other stuff has he got?
That's it. I think that's it. Phone? You got a phone?
Is it my turn for a song?
No, it's your turn for a phone.
I really want this to be a cat-related song, but I don't think I've got any on here. And what's your cat's name?
Simba.
A bit original.
He was already called Simba.
Okay. Right, let's see what we've got next. Oh, this is awful.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
That was Amy Stutt with a song called Nice Boys. I don't even know why that is on my pod.
Why is that on your iPod? It's the kind of song that like
girls
listen to when they've broken up with a guy.
Yeah.
Was this after a breakup?
Maybe it was. I don't know what it is. I haven't heard that for a long time. All I know is that is coming straight off.
Nice boys, they don't last.
And nice boys don't last, do you think? Would you describe yourself as a nice boy?
Sometimes. Yeah, no, I do think I'm nice. I'm pretty nice.
What sort of nice stuff do you do?
Sort of quite nice. I think I'm quite nice. I'm not very horrible.
It's not nice, though. You can't say I'm not very horrible. That's not. That doesn't automatically mean you're nice.
I think I do
not
nice
saying
things.
I don't hit people or don't steal stuff. Yeah. Oh, he's a nice bloke there.
Yeah. I think I do nice. I say nice things about people.
Try it on me.
You got a nice face. We are clang, we're good.
Do you know what? And it sounds like I'm saying this because it's a really a horrible thing happened to me.
Yeah.
I did this show. It's all sounds like a real name drawing plug. I get loads of comments on it called Celebrity Squares.
Yeah.
And I thought my nan can watch this because it's a sort of show that people in their 80s and 90s can watch and not be offended by, unlike the other stuff I do. And so it was on the other week, and they do an introduction bit when they just show people sort of walking around before they go into the studio. And everyone else in the show is like, oh, here's Rachel Yankee. She's a ladies footballer.
Yeah.
Footballer from Arsenal. Here's comedian funny men, Vic and Bob, who always make us laugh on television.
Yeah.
Here's Marek Larwood. Yes, he does actually look like that. What the fuck? I've never just watched it. I'm just saying, fuck.
Who was doing the voiceover? Dave Lamb.
My fucking nan's watching this. And that's my introduction. Yes, he does actually look like that.
Well, how are you looking?
I wasn't even putting a face. Just getting out of a car and I'm just getting out of a car normally. I don't mind if I'm putting it, you know,
yes,
stupid face.
He does look like that.
He looks and I think, what? And it made me just think, oh God.
Typecast.
Yeah, it was Warwick Davis did it, which, I mean...
He did the voiceover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfectly nice. Perfectly nice on the day. As soon as he gets in the recording studio, behind your back, that little shit is saying all sorts of stuff about you.
Could you say little shit?
Well, I can now. If he's going to start slagging me off. If that little shit's going to start slagging my face off, he's in serious trouble. And the good news is that I could definitely beat him in a fight.
You definitely have him, mate.
Yeah.
Just kick... How would you... beat him up, just kick him a bit. Would you kick him?
Why would I kick him? I mean, that is a bit.
Would you? I don't know. I've gone too far now, haven't I?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what territory we're getting into, but it feels like it's the wrong territory.
You're absolutely
violence
right,
against
little.
You can't even say that.
You can't call him little.
Warwick Davis. He's. How would you just? I don't know what you're supposed to say. Can you say dwarfism? Is that what it's called?
He's not a midget.
No, but
he's a dwarf. He's a dwarf.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can say dwarf.
Well, I should just on the grounds of what he's said about me, I can just say he's an arsehole.
Yeah, that's fine, isn't it?
Then that's fine. That's applicable to anyone. Anyone could be an arsehole. And Warwick Davis is that. And the thing is, no one picked me in that show, so I had to come back and do another one.
That's great.
Well, no, yeah, I'm going to wait and see what that little shit says about me next time. If he does something bad about me again,
that's still not, his face. There he is. Still, he's still got that face.
He's goading me. Then that's that's fighting talk, right?
Yeah, definitely.
If I beat up Warwick Davis, would people, you know, would it sort of make me look like a bit of a bully?
Yeah, it won't look good.
Even if I sort of said about this, he said this stuff about me on TV without behind my back.
It depends if he's dressed up. I don't know why.
What
that
do you
makes
mean dressed up?
Well, if he's like
what, dressed up nicely to go out?
Yeah. You can't.
As opposed to naked.
Yeah, if you beat up a naked man, I think that's allowed actually. If you beat up a naked man, because then you're just because he's out of order for being naked.
Well, if he was in, this is that thing that we're going into that. If I managed to make it look like he was breaking into my house,
yes, then that's fine, isn't it?
That's what I would do. I am going to try and get Warwick Davis to break into my house, and then because you're legally allowed to beat people up if they break into your house, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. You get him to come round. Tell him come round.
Right, but someone else, another voice. Come, I can get you.
Yeah.
How about you do it now? I can. You could say
I'll call him up.
Well, if you get this, I can take this recording bit from the show.
Yeah.
I can download the podcast to this when it comes out.
Yeah.
And I can get you saying, hi, Warwick, can you come round? And then I'll play that down the phone. And I'll get, I mean, this is the problem is that we're talking about this live on air, but me beating Warwick Davis up. So it's going to look premeditated. We won't ever look like he's actually broken into my house.
No. Okay. Well,
this is pointless.
But if he breaks into my house and you're there.
But as a guest.
Yeah, if you're there.
But I'm allergic to cats, and you've got cats at your house.
Yeah, one cat.
Yeah, still.
He won't be there. He'll be modelling. He'll be out.
Okay.
Earning a crust.
So we need to get your cat. Here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
One, we get your cat a modelling job.
Yeah, please.
Well, you invite, you need to make friends with and invite Warwick Davis around your house.
Yeah.
No, you can't invite him around. He's going to break into your house.
No. Yeah.
Why would he break into your house?
Maybe he's not breaking in. Maybe he rings the door, but we don't know.
Why is Warwick Davis coming round your house?
Well, we'd invite him round.
No, but then he's break. Then he's.
But then we don't answer the door for ages.
Yeah, but no one. People just go home. They don't break in.
Is this flawed, isn't it?
You need to make out you've got something on Warwick Davis. If like naked pics or something like that. Dick pics or something like that.
Yeah.
So somehow you. Right, I might just let him off. I might just let Warwick Davis off with a threat. If you say something bad about me again and how I look, you are going to be in serious danger of becoming a part of an elaborate plan.
Was he nice to you?
Yeah, on the day, he's nice to everyone though, isn't he? Everyone's nice to everyone. As soon as, and then once they start talking about you.
Did he look at your face as if to go, as if, was he checking out your face as if to say?
What do you mean, looking at me normally, thinking, what the hell's going on there?
Sussing you out, like, what am I going to say about this guy when he walks out?
I was surprised. I thought someone who's obviously made a big deal, but he's obviously suffered quite a bit of abuse, I think.
Yeah.
That he would want to make someone else feel like that.
Are you quite hurt by it? Yeah.
Maybe he wanted to be the bully for a change. Who knows? I mean, who knows what... I mean,
it's not incorrect. That is your face.
Yeah, but it's not like, oh, he actually looks like this. It wasn't said, you know, oh, here's Joe Bohr. He looks like this. It was, here's Joe Bohr. He actually looks like this.
I get people saying I look like a fat Nicolas Cage. But I think that's
ridiculous.
I'm all right with that.
I think you've got a very friendly face, Joe.
Thanks, ma'am. Do you like Nicolas Cage? Do you think he's...
I think Nicolas Cage is one of the strangest men ever to grace the earth.
He's odd, isn't he?
He picks... If you watch Nicolas Cage films, he does like a weird film. Apparently he got declared bankrupt, doesn't he?
Really?
I think something went wrong with his taxes. So he does like an artistic film that's quite good.
Yeah.
Then he'll just do any old shit
just for
mental
money.
Film.
Yeah.
There's one called Vampire's Kiss when he's playing a vampire, which you should watch. I think it's on Netflix. It's one of the weirdest films I've ever seen in my life. There's a bit when he's he goes on Wogan. It's really good. Look up Nicolas Cage Wogan.
Yeah.
Or some
in real
chat
life,
show.
In real life.
He comes on.
Yeah.
It says young Nicolas Cage. He does a backflip on stage.
Wow.
And he starts like throwing money at the audience. It's a brilliant entrance.
Why he's got no money.
Well, he went to too many chat shows.
He just throwing it at people.
That's why you're at the front of these Backstreet Boys shows and all the Britney Spears. You just want Nicolas Cage to come on. And if you'd have been at all Nicolas Cage chat show things, you would have had loads. You would have
that.
Enough cash.
Yeah, I'd love that.
We could have paid for a hitman to get Warwick Davis.
I'm in a film soon.
What sort of film is it? Saucy one?
It's called Frat Pack.
Sounds a bit saucy, mate.
It's like an LA. It's an LA film, mate.
And how did you get that?
I did the whole sort of casting. I go out to LA a bit and then... So I meet producers, and this producer saw me, and so I'm playing like an Englishman, like a proper sort of posh, stupid Englishman, similar to my character that I do.
That's great. When are you going out to film that then?
So in about 3 or 4 weeks, we're filming in Toronto.
And how long is it for?
It's for a week. So I play sort of this English guy's friend, who's a bit of a Wally. And I've never been to Toronto. I've heard it's nice. I'm looking forward to it.
Hopefully you'll get some of the spring weather and won't be so cold.
Have you been?
I've been to Buffalo, which is just on the borders of Canada. It was pretty... But
was
I
it
mean,
cold, a bit chilly?
I mean, it's like saying I've been to a completely different country. Literally irrelevant. Irrelevant. And that'd be great. And when you sent the audition off them, did you?
Yeah, I did. I put myself. What do they call it? I put myself on tape.
It's always quite weird when you have to film yourself in a room by yourself and then send a video off.
Yeah, I always find castings. You never quite know how you've done, do you? Can you tell?
I sort of know when you've done badly. I did one the other day for a role which was for no lines in a film. It's a physical part.
Yeah.
For some reason, I put up these physical parts, and. it was in Ealing, so I had to go all the way to Ealing, from where I live in North London, and I went in, and it was just, I got left in a really hot, small room for literally 15 minutes by myself, so I was just sweating, and then I had to pretend to box people and fall over, to be hit in the face and fall over. It was really awful audition.
And
the person filming was a girl, must have been about 18, 19, and at the end of it she said... Well, thanks for giving it a go. Thanks for giving it a go. And you just feel,
that's the worst.
Awful.
That's like, I did a show, my mum came to one, to a preview. It was a preview, it was really early preview of one of my shows, and she said the worst thing after seeing it. I think she was trying to be nice.
I don't want you to be my son anymore.
that's worse. No, she just went... I said, Mum, what did you think? She went, yeah, it's tough listening to one person talk for an hour. That's bad, isn't it?
It was only 50 minutes as well.
Especially
50
when
minutes seemed like an hour.
Oh, God.
Well, let's try and cheer ourselves up with a song. If you plug yourself in.
Yeah.
I hope this is better than my last one. I'm really excited about the world of...
Can it be a funny one? It is a funny song.
A world of possibilities you have. Don't forget to iPod in. Funny, what, like the Birdie song?
I got this for one of my shows. I did a show called A Room With A Jew.
Well, let's have a listen and see what you think.
Music.
Well, that was Rucker Rucker Ali Without Jew. I think you should explain that song.
Sorry, mate. I needed something before my A Room With A Jew show. So I thought, I think I just had a look at Jew. It was quite funny. It's meant to be Hitler, isn't it? It's Hitler singing. I mean, it's not Hitler singing.
I was going to say, I mean, that would be, if they got, they could manage to get him to sing.
Just before he finished himself off. He didn't finish himself off. Kill himself.
I mean, You need to be. You need to work out. Be quite specific about these things. just brought, that's the song that Hitler sang just before he finished himself off there. There you heard it from Joe Ball.
We're
coming to the end of the show now.
The best.
I've just realised I was supposed to promote my. I did this to promote my sport, Wolfsball.
Wolfsball, yeah.
Wolfsball. I invented this sport, and my dad's made the second prototype of it, which has cost me loads of money, and I've not even had a chance to talk about it.
I hope it does better than his previous
inventions. No, it won't, because my dad keeps on spending all my money. Basically, I invented my sport, and my dad said, you need to get a prototype of this, basically this stand that goes in the middle of it. Yeah. And he keeps on spending my arranging to spend this money with his builder and phoning me up and saying, oh yeah, the price has gone up now, it's 800 quid now plus VAT.
What is it? What have you got to build?
It's a stand,
like a net,
it's a triangular prism that spins around with a hoop at the top. It's a really inaccessible, strange sport.
Like a basketball net.
It's a cross between basketball, football, and netball. Look it up on www.volksball.com. I can't believe I'm not having a chance to talk about it. If you want to tweet in, there's at FUBAR Radio. Next week, James Acaster is still away, but he is back the week after. Finally, Acaster comes back. Thank you very much to Joe Bohr. Twitter?
At Joseph Bohr, B-O-R.
And go and see his show. I am at Marek Larwood, and this is Young MC with Know How.